Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you are listening to the EMSO, EMSW, and Affair Library Q&A call. It's August 4th, 2014, and I want to thank all of you for joining the call. Today, we have several questions. First, unavoidable triggers. My husband and I are 4 months past D-Day and are trying very hard to build an even better marriage than we had before. Of course, there are many ups and downs. Previously, I had posted a question about how to deal with triggers associated with our family business, raising and showing cattle. This is a passion that my husband had in common with his affair partner, and my shortcomings in this area were his main justification for the affair. This is a lifestyle that I wanted when we got married and did enjoy all the activities associated with it. Now, however, I find it hard to get excited about these things and am extremely sensitive to criticism if I don't do a perfect job. Your suggestion was for me to pursue a different passion and for him to find a male friend to share this passion with. Unfortunately, on the family farm, this isn't practical. The work must be done. We all have to do our part. I want to enjoy these things again, and my husband would very much appreciate it too. How can we work as a team to enjoy our daily work and family activities when they are also a strong trigger for me? Thank you for your insight. One thing you can do in a situation like that is to both discuss what you believe the triggers will be and then try and develop a plan jointly of how to avoid those triggers. For instance, if his criticism is a trigger, his working at being patient and also affirming the things you're doing well will certainly be helpful. Additionally, if there's some sort of new project the two of you can do with this, or a new goal the two of you can set that would be exclusively yours, I believe that creating something new and special for both of you that is shared will actually help with those triggers. For instance, potentially it could be a different breed of cattle, maybe a different type of animal. Anything that allows a new experience that's not shared with her. The other thing you can do, and at 4 months, it's awfully early, but repairing the damage done, in other words, reclaiming those things as your own, can be really helpful. An example, one of our mentor couples, her husband had used many hotels for prostitutes throughout the city. And they were, after a year, they were closer to 16 months, but she sat down with him one day and said, "Look, I need you to take me to every hotel." And initially, she didn't want that information. She said, "But I need you to take me to each one of those locations because as I drive around town, it's driving me crazy every time I see a hotel because it triggers me and makes me wonder whether you took someone there. Even more, it bothers me simply because I love this city and don't want to lose it." So she and her husband drove to dozens of hotels, and she got out, and she and her husband together in this situation held hands, prayed over that building, walked around that building as they prayed, and reclaimed it as their own. And she said that one event, as they, that was their technique, that one way of working through that really helped her as she drove by and saw those hotels. She said they no longer triggered her. I've had other people, couples, do things such as intentionally hold hands while they do things as a way of kind of joining together and experiencing it together in a new way, as establishing it as their own thing. Those types of rituals, I think, can be helpful, and I hope that gives you an idea of maybe some ways you can begin working together. Next question, EMSO versus EMSW. We are on 13 weeks of EMSO. I'm wondering if EMSW covers different material. would there be additional benefit to completing or attending EMSW if we are completing EMSO? Actually, I've had couples do that. Much of the material is the same. I'm not sure that there is what I would call a great deal of new teaching material. The advantage to EMSW is the intensity and the ability to be face-to-face and to address specific issues in the small group, since they're being facilitated by John, Leslie, or myself. And the couples I've had that have done both have reported that it's been really useful, that the experiences are different, and that even the review of the material, there's a lot of things they said they picked up on it the second time that they didn't experience the first time. There is some new material in addition, because we've currently finished writing the revision for EMS Online. And so there would be new material, but it would be still about the same topics. But that advantage of speaking with the therapist directly can often help you get untangled in areas you're stuck, as well as allow us to give you specific materials to help you heal. So the next question, how do I tell if the addict is speaking? You mentioned in one of your prior Q&A sessions regarding your own relapse that Stephanie learned to tell when the addict was speaking. She learned to differentiate between times you were being the authentic self talking to her and when the addict was talking to her. How did she do this? I want to support my husband in his recovery, and I want to support his support in my own healing. How can we achieve this without being codependent? In recovery, there is generally a much more significant level of authenticity or intimacy. One of the things both of us learned to watch, and well, let me go back. Initially, before discovery, I think our intimacy level was probably at about a 3. As we went through it and we learned to share, I think it probably went to an 8 or a 9. That shift in the degree of our connection allowed both of us to immediately sense when that level of connection was dropping. So that was one of the first barometer pieces. When I was, I think, acting more out of the addict, I became less concerned about other people. I began to isolate myself more. I quit talking to people that were critical in my recovery process. I became more self-centered, and there would be small things where I'd begin to minimize, justify, rationalize. I'd also be far more accepting of, I think, maybe behaviors or conditions that were high risk, and to me, they really didn't set off an alarm. All of those things let her know that I was probably more in the addict than in the true self. When I was more in that true self in recovery, I was far more concerned about her. I enjoyed her more. I intentionally made activities or did things to be with the family because that was important to me. So I think part of it, when she would know it was the addict, is when I would begin to drop what we both came to understand were really healthy behaviors for me, and I would quit speaking in a way of concern and compassion and begin to try and control or manipulate her into what I wanted. I hope that gives you a few ideas. Imaging the love of God. We are in the 12th week of EMSO. If marital sex is about imaging the love of God, but that's not how a married couple has been viewing it, how do you change that perspective? Are there certain steps to following or attitudes to develop? How do you know once it is imaging the love of God? So I guess the question is, how do you know it's about love? Or how do you know it's just about your own self-gratification and whether or not you're just trying to please your mate or you're trying to use your mate as a prop? Actually, I think there are some very good books that I recommend couples go through just so they can reformat how they look at things sexually. Sometimes I recommend sheet music by, excuse me, sometimes I recommend Restoring the Pleasure, first off, by Penner and Penner, which allows for, I think it does a great job of explaining many things sexually, but it also creates an exercise, exercises in chapter 12, 26 of them that will help you begin to look at how you engage with each other very differently. Sheet music by, I can't think of his last name all of a sudden, is also a book I have couples read. And when I talk about couples reading on these topics, I usually ask the couples to read together simply because it allows for discussion. And setting aside 15 or 20 minutes a night to read out loud about sexual behaviors and activities and doing exercises, by the way, that is not a dull activity. It can actually be quite fun. So those would be, I think, a few of them. There's also, if you look up a guy named Christopher West, and he actually has some CDs, maybe some books he's written regarding theology of the body and how people interact. This was actually adapted from Pope John Paul. Some of you hearing this may go, well, that's Catholic. But I'll tell you, it's some of the best work I've ever heard. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. At least consider listening or reading some of those. I think it'll give you very specific ideas as to what you're asking in imaging God in terms of love. And our final question for the day. Although we don't come from a Christian background, EMSO has been an incredible tool for our recovery. Are there others who come from a non-Christian perspective who had difficulty with Lessons 12 of EMSO? I appreciate your wisdom and advice and your knowledge of human nature and the challenge that we're all facing to build healthy marriages. I'm looking for guidance in terms of healthy sexualities, but I'm not familiar with the biblical references. Thank you. Another good question. I guess it's associated with the previous question regarding how do you understand what it means to image the love of God? Absolutely, there have been many, many people who have gone through that don't share that perspective. The revised version of EMSO, that chapter has been rewritten to include other things, and I appreciate just your openness and also your encouragement. I'm glad that it was very helpful for you. So there are other resources you might want to look at that I think do a great job of explaining sexuality. The Passionate Marriage by David Snark, S-C-H-N-A-R-C-H, would be the first resource I would recommend. I would suggest the two of you read that out loud together, because it'll create, I think, a great deal of discussion and in many ways give you ways, I think, to understand how to be authentic and how to be real in the relationship. That would probably, to me, be the best first step. I think if that's not something that works for you, if you look at it, if you will repost another question later after exploring that book, there's potentially some other books that I could recommend, but they would be more problem-specific, such as trying to understand eroticism or things like that. So if those are issues, again, I would make different suggestions. So begin with The Passionate Marriage. If that doesn't work, make another post and I'll get back with you. So that is all of our questions for today. I want to thank you all for joining the call, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week. To healing.